This Noop. Okay, ready? Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and you've noticed immediately a major change. It's sort of like you're used to a certain host, and then there's a substitute host after 140 times. This is Snoopy, Otto's brother. Is he saying anything? As you see, Snoopy is not quite as laid back as Otto. The reason Otto's not here, though, is a serious reason. Otto just had surgery. If I explain to you why he needed the surgery, now I have to, obviously. Okay, so here's the story. We also own, at our home here, we have two giant tortoises. I mean giant. You probably couldn't lift them. They're about how many pounds? About 75 pounds each. That's enormous. And they are obviously in the back of the house. So what does that have to do with Otto? Well, we feed them a wonderful vegetarian diet. That's what tortoises eat, including every day for a decade. We give them a corn, which they love. Snoopy's leaving, or at least you saw Snoopy. And maybe he'll return. But probably not. So, for the first time in 10 years, Otto went and he likes corn, which is fine, but he ate the cob. And that apparently sort of tore up an intestine to a certain extent. And he has a serious condition as a result of the cob, of the corn on the cob. So it's a bit unique, and he needed an immediate surgery because of the defect there. We hope he'll be fine, and I know we're going to get a lot of cards and prayers for Otto, but now the empty seat. It's sort of like when candidates debate someone who doesn't want to debate, they put the chair there. This is it. So it is a lonely moment. Maybe Snoopy will come back, or maybe we'll put a tortoise in the seat and you'll get a chance to meet one of the tortoises. Anyway, that's why Otto's not here. Hopefully Otto will be with us fine and chipper for the next fireside chat. So I want to... I want to remind everybody who's just tuning in, this is a completely spontaneous thing. Each week, I'm not reading from a teleprompter. I thought about what I would talk about, but otherwise, it's completely spontaneous. And it's a chance to be, as it were, intimate in my conversation with you, each fireside chat. So an interesting thing I came across on the on Twitter. And that is a number of teachers very angry that parents, as a result of school being on Zoom or whatever it might be, that what the teachers are telling their students will now be heard by parents. And especially angry if conservative parents get to hear what they say. Years ago, this is not new. Years ago, I confronted this issue when people would call my radio show and tell me, when students would, and they would tell me that their teachers in high school or college objected to the point of wanting the school to ban the recording of the teacher giving that day's lesson. And what did I think of that? And I'll tell you exactly what I thought, because I taught college. And I remember when I taught college, people asked me, students asked, can I record your class? And I remember that's when people used cassette recorders. So they could record it just as they could record it today with their phones. And I remember saying, why not? I hope you do record my class. That way you can share it with other people who don't take my class. I taught at Brooklyn College, City University of New York, for a couple of years. And never dawned on me, same with my speeches. People always ask, can I record your speech? And I'm sure people who don't ask who do. I want people to record what I say publicly. Anything people say publicly should be recordable. Otherwise, I have suspicions about what you're saying. Why would you want to say it, especially a teacher, especially? I can say what I want to 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, but God forbid a 40-year-old should hear? That's what it is about. The reason teachers object, forget this latest thing, I'll get to that, but the reason college teachers object is because they know that it's easy to get away with saying anything to a 20-year-old. It's much harder to get away with what they said if somebody twice their age or three times their age hears what they say. They know that it's propaganda. A teacher who teaches honestly wants their class recorded. Get that? I'll say it again. A teacher who teaches, not indoctrinates, wants their class recorded. Why wouldn't they? Let others learn. Isn't that a beautiful thing? What could be more beautiful? I teach my class, whatever it is, American history, or for that matter, gender studies. Why wouldn't I want others? Because it's easy to get away with any drivel, nonsense, and indoctrination when you're teaching kids. But it's much harder when adults hear you or when people who differ with you hear you. Every teacher who is objecting to their class being recorded at college is a coward. They're a bully. I will tell you what I think and what I want you to believe, but I don't want anybody else to hear it, lest they take issue with me and I can't possibly answer their arguments. So I lived it. I wanted people to record my classes because all I did in my class was teach the syllabus. It was not my task as a teacher to convert anybody to my way of thinking. That was not my task. That's my task outside of class, not my task inside of class. Parents trusted that I, teaching their kids, would teach them the syllabus. It is a betrayal of parental trust to indoctrinate rather than teach. So it is a giveaway as to A, the non-intellectual bases of leftism, the non-rational bases of leftism, and the cowardice of vast numbers of instructors who are so afraid lest the public hear what they are saying to young people. The same thing now holds true in high schools and elementary schools. I mean, that's really amazing. An elementary school or a high school teacher afraid that parents will hear what they're saying? That's somewhat of a giveaway, isn't it? They know they're indoctrinating. They don't want conservative parents to hear them. I would be thrilled if left-wing parents heard what I say. I would be thrilled. That would be my preference. There's no intellectual foundation for all of this. That's why they're so afraid. So it made me think that, you know what? Maybe there is a silver lining to the lockdown, which I have opposed. I believe kids should have all been in school, at least till the age of 16, like in Sweden, this whole time. The chances of a child, of a young person of that age, dying of COVID is so minuscule as to be less than their chances of dying in a car crash going to school. Your kid has a greater chance of dying going to school than attending school during COVID. That's just a statistical fact. That's how rare it is. I think in the United States, what is it, under the age, what is it, of six? I don't remember what the age was. I think 10 kids in the entire country. So it is a giveaway that all these teachers are now yelling about. And you should see their tweets, the teachers, with their names. They're not even embarrassed. Oh, I don't want conservative parents hearing what I have to say. Anyway, parents shouldn't hear what I have to say. They actually write that. Parents interfere. Parents interfere with their children's education. That's how I know. That's one of the biggest reasons that I offer to prove that leftism is a cult. Cult, that's the key word. Because cults never want its members to allow relatives to know what they're hearing. The severing of the parental authority in young people's lives is the number one thing cults do at the beginning. Every cult does that. The Nazis did that with the Hitler Youth. The Soviets did that with Komsomol, the Soviet Youth League. And it is done with cults like Jim Jones and any other cult that you know of. They want to sever the parental authority. Parents are an obstacle, in many cases, to the ability to indoctrinate the people into their cult. And that's what it is. We don't want parents to hear what we're telling their children. It used to be this was not the case. In the history of teaching, this has not been the case. A teacher should be proud to have what they say heard by their parents. I am proud to tell you how good a teacher I am. Teacher, not indoctrinator. Therefore, there are two bright things that might come out in terms of education. There was actually an article in, of all places, the New York Times, by a mother saying, you know, my kid hated school and now is thriving with a home education. Well, the more people who take their kids out of schools and now homeschool them, the better it will be for our society. Schools are not trustworthy in the vast majority of cases because they no longer believe their role is to teach. They believe their role is to persuade. That is not teaching. So interesting. You never know out of what darkness some light may emanate. And that is an example. All right, time for your questions. And we begin with a video question. Okie dokie.
Hey, Mr. Prayer, this is Maria Bello. I am a member of Prayer Force. I used to live in Venezuela until I was 17. I have been living in the United States for 7 years now. And my question is, I have experienced socialism firsthand. What I want to know is, what can I do or what should I tell people who do not understand what socialism is like or who don't know what socialism is, or those kind of people that they say that Venezuela is not a socialist country, or people that don't believe me, what I went through in Venezuela. How can I approach those people? What will be the best answer for me to tell them and explain to them exactly what my life was under socialism? Thank you.
Okay. I thank you, Maria, from Venezuela. I don't have a happy answer for you. It is very difficult for people to understand socialism and communism. Very difficult. And I'll tell you when I learned this. When I was 21 years of age, I went to the Soviet Union for a month. And I spoke to dissidents, people who did not like communism. It was a very difficult 4 weeks. One of the reasons I was actually sent there, I was sent to help specifically Jews to get out who wanted to leave and to bring in religious items for those who wanted to be able to practice their religion there. I came home and I began lecturing at the age of 21. I have a very strange life. I've been a public person my whole adult life. So I began lecturing and I realized within maybe a year, maybe 2 years at the most, and I actually said it in some of my lectures, I realized that American audiences did not understand when I spoke about totalitarianism. And I realized that the opposite was also true, because when I was in the Soviet Union and I would speak about freedom, Soviet citizens would often say, "Нет, это анархия." Said, what you're describing is anarchy. That people could say whatever they wanted struck Soviet citizens as incomprehensible. You can say anything you want in America? That's anarchy. So they didn't understand freedom, and Americans didn't understand totalitarianism. So, Maria, it is unfortunate. This seems to be a limitation in most humans, not all, in understanding circumstances they have never lived under. I felt I was able. I was not shocked by the totalitarianism I experienced in the Soviet Union. I had an understanding of evil at a very young age, even though I didn't experience it. But apparently, a lot of people either don't want to or can't, and it's almost the same thing. So when you describe Venezuela to them, under Chavez or under Maduro, it they understand the words, but they don't understand what you're saying. And if they do, they don't think it could happen here. We'll do socialism right. That's what they say. All these Marxist regimes, they got it wrong. Or even we'll do communism right. A lot of young people think communism is preferable to capitalism. Teen Vogue. Yeah, Teen Vogue just had an article saying private property is wrong. There should be no private property. Teen Vogue. That is the end of liberty. I mean, if you can't own, you can't own your own home. You can't own anything. It's all public. But what does that mean, public? There's no meaning to, no private property doesn't mean anything. It only means the state owns everything, and the state is then an emperor, is a tyrant beyond words. So it's very hard for you to explain to people. And you can tell them, I wish you would visit Venezuela for a week. I said it at the time, I wish every Soviet citizen could come to America for a year or 6 months, and every American could go to the Soviet Union for a year or 6 months, or not even 6 months, 6 weeks. Then maybe Americans would appreciate more what they have here. The defining characteristic of the left is a lack of gratitude, but it's not the only defining perspective. It's lack of perspective. Not the only defining characteristic, it's a lack of perspective to understand what it is like elsewhere. So I know that answer doesn't make you feel better, but at least it clarifies things. Gabia, 16 years old, Vilnius, Lithuania. I was in Lithuania, had a wonderful time. Nice to hear from you. Hi, Dennis. In Europe and the U.S., there is a huge problem of very low birth rates. Why do you think people don't want to have children anymore, and what solutions could you offer? I'll tell you something I learned that I did not know. I know I didn't know until I learned it. Now, you could say that's true about anything. You didn't know 2 and 2 is 4 until you learned it. But I don't mean that. I mean something about life that I really didn't learn till relatively recently. Just about everything is a value. Like freedom. People think people yearn for freedom, but they don't. People yearn to be taken care of, and they will give up freedom to be taken care of. This is as old as the Bible. 3,000 years ago, the Israelites, Exodus from Egypt, they were slaves for hundreds of years, and within a very short period of time, they're complaining that they want to go back to Egypt because they ate better. They weren't starving in the desert, but they ate better in Egypt, even though they were slaves. So they rather be eating well as slaves than not eating. They're eating well in terms of sustaining themselves, but not as yummy. They rather have a yummier food as a slave than less yummy food while free. It's it's what I say. Human nature is not terribly admirable. There are humans that are admirable. It's because they've overcome their nature. Liberty is a value. America is founded on the value of liberty. That's why the French gave America the Statue of Liberty. They didn't give it to themselves. Because America really was the country of liberty. The left doesn't care for liberty. Never did. It has contempt for liberty, like free speech, the ultimate liberty, the most important liberty. So now, what does that have to do with your question? To my great surprise, I learned not only is liberty a value, children are a value. You think children are instinctive because everybody who could has had children in history. And because children are produced by that incredibly powerful urge, the sex urge. But you could now have sex without children. So you still give in to that urge. You accommodate that primal urge, but you don't have children. Children are a value. Marriage is a value. There's a 1950s song, I believe it was from the 50s, "Love and Marriage Go Together Like a Horse and Carriage." That was what was assumed. Everybody assumed love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. But they don't. Love and marriage don't go together unless you have marriage as a value. Children are a value now, and marriage is a value now. They were instinctive to humanity because everybody assumed that's the way to have children. And people wanted children for economic reasons, for love reasons, for whatever reason. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage historically, but not anymore. And so children and marriage are values. So, Gabia in Lithuania, people rather be free. Not free in the sense of freedom of speech, but free of obligations. Children and marriage are obligations. People don't want obligations. Children cost money. Children cost time. Children are a crapshoot. Wonderful people, wonderful parents can have a very troubled child. Can have a sick child. Having a child is a crapshoot. People want to be guaranteed an easy life, especially in Europe. European civilization since World War II has been preoccupied with having as easy a life as possible, working as few hours as possible, traveling as much as possible, eating out at a cafe as much as possible, having some good wine as much as possible, and that's it. They don't want obligations. They just want to have an easy life. Children do not make for an easier life. And that's the reason. There was an article that I just read, and I forgot where, but it was a major source. And the author wrote how it's a bad idea to have children. I read this now all the time. It's a bad idea to have children. Not only because it's such a difficult thing, but because more people on Earth is bad for the climate. So that's a new argument. But that's not a new argument. When I was a kid, there was the argument of overpopulation. ZPG started when I was a kid, zero population growth. Because if we have too many people, everybody will starve. Meanwhile, there are fewer people starving per capita than in the history of humanity today, and we have far more people than ever. Technology has made it possible to feed vast numbers of people, and it will make it even easier in the future. So That is why religious people have children and secular people don't. That's a generalization. Of course, there are secular people with children. But if you met any family, let's put it this way. I've never met, I'm sure it exists, but I have never met a family with more than four kids, five or more, that was secular. Every family I have met with a lot of kids is a religious family. Religious people still hold it as a value. And by the way, they're held in contempt by many secular. Certainly the left holds them in contempt. They're overpopulating the world. Whereas my only concern about people having children is, are you making good children? The best thing 99% of humanity could do is make good children. 1% of humanity can do great good on some macro level in some other way, perhaps. 99.9%, I should have said, the best thing you could do is have children and make them good people. We need the world to be populated by good people. That's the greatest good possible. And that is what people should think about, but they don't. All these people, they think the greatest good I could do in America is fight racism. Yeah, but there's very little racism to fight. You need a cause because your life is pretty empty without a cause. You don't believe in liberty. You don't believe in religion. You don't believe in America. So you need a cause. Otherwise, your life is pretty empty. So anti-racism has given you great meaning. That's all it is about. Racism is disgusting, but there's not much racism to fight. You want to fight real evil in the world? Try the Iranian regime. Try the Chinese Communist Party. Right? It's North Korea. I mean, there's real evil in the world still. So, I hope you have a lot of children. I'll tell you this, Europe is committing suicide. There are countries that are disappearing. Spain is not replicating itself. Germany is not replicating itself. Not just in Europe. Japan is not replicating itself. They say that as you get affluent, people have fewer children. That's true, but affluence is not the reason. Secularism is the reason. Affluent religious people have children. So I will stop with that question. I really wanted to get so many more. Oh, what a good one from Illinois. That's painful. And it's addressed to Otto, too. So let me explain why Otto isn't here in case you just tuned in. But that's not, no, you can't just tune in. People start from the beginning. All right, but if you just tuned in, Otto had surgery yesterday. And I will definitely pass on your good wishes, which will certainly cheer him up. Because as soon as he got out of surgery, he said, will I be on the Fireside Chat? Yeah, the veterinarian told us. Those were his first words. After the anesthetic wore off. So I really do hope he'll be with us next week. And I hope I will be with you next week, because you never know what happens in the course of a week. But that's my plan. See you then. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these Fireside Chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.